With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to DelmarvaStudios.net. Delmarva Studios proudly presents Unsolved Murders in America, hosted by Chad Granke. Our country currently has over 250,000 unsolved murders. We present all of the evidence that is available to the public, along with some hard-nosed research by our investigative team. We hope that by sharing this information we can help to close some of these cold cases. All suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Don't forget to check out all of our great podcasts on DelmarvaStudios.net. Without any further ado, let's send it over to Chad.
Thank you, and welcome to Episode 7, The Springfield 3. The three victims in this case are Cheryl Levitt, who was born on November 1st in 1944. She was 5 feet tall and weighed 110 pounds, brown eyes, with short bleach blonde hair. It was naturally curly. It was longer on top and short in the back. Cheryl Levitt had a thin build and has freckles on her neck and upper chest area. Victim number two was Stacy McCall, white female, born on April 23rd, 1974, 5'3", 120 pounds, blue eyes, dark blonde hair to the middle of her back with sun-lightened ends. She has freckles on her face and a dimple in the middle of her chin. Victim number three, Suzanne, known as Susie, Streeter, white female, born on March 9th, 1973, 5'2" and weighed 102 pounds, brown eyes, straight bleach blonde hair, shoulder length, large teeth with no dental work. She also had a 3.5-inch scar on the top of her right forearm and a small tumor in the left corner of her mouth, which gave her an appearance that she had something in her mouth. On June 7, 1992, the Springfield Police Department was notified of the disappearance of three women from a residence in central Springfield. The parents of Stacy McCall, one of the missing women, contacted the police department in reference to their daughter's disappearance from the home of Cheryl Levitt and Suzanne Streeter, the other two missing women. Upon officers' arrival, the house bore no signs of struggle, but rather the appearance of the missing women went abducted. All personal property was left behind, including purses, money, clothing, cars, keys, cigarettes, and the family dog. Stacy McCall and Suzanne Streeter had graduated from high school the day before their disappearance and were last seen at approximately 2:15 a.m. on June 7, 1992, when they left a graduation party in a nearby community en route to the Levitt Streeter home at 1717 East Delmar in Springfield, Missouri. It appeared as though they had arrived at the residence because their clothing, jewelry, purses, and vehicles were still at this location. Suzanne's mother, Cheryl Levitt, was last heard from at approximately 11:15 p.m. on June 6, 1992, the night prior, when she was talking to a friend about painting a chest of drawers or an armoire. Levitt's car, purse, keys, etc. were all left at the residence, and it appeared as though her bed had been slept in when friends and police arrived to check at the residence. With the assistance of the FBI, and the Missouri State Highway Patrol and numerous other law enforcement agencies, an extensive investigation into the lives of the missing women has been conducted, with no positive leads concerning the reason for their disappearance or their location. A reward fund of $42,000 has been established for the location and prosecution of the persons responsible for the abduction of the three women. Anyone with information into the disappearance of Mrs. Leavitt, Ms. Streeter, and Ms. McCall is requested to contact the Springfield Police Department or Crime Stoppers. Once again, Streeter and McCall graduated Kickapoo High School on June 6, 1992. They were last seen around 2 a.m. on June 7th. When they were leaving the last of a few graduation parties that they had attended that evening. At some point in the night, they were also seen in a place called Battlefield. The pair planned to spend the night at their friend Janelle Kirby's house, but when they decided Kirby's house was too crowded, they instead left to go to Streeter's and thus Leavitt's home, once again at 1717 East Delmar Street, to retire for the evening. It is assumed that they arrived because their clothing, jewelry, purses, and vehicles were all present the next day. Leavitt was last heard from at 11:15 p.m., once again, speaking about painting the armoire. Now, the alleged timeline of the three is suspected to be convoluted, as the friends who saw the girls the previous evening were also the first to arrive at the Leavitt home the next day. The following morning, around 9 a.m., Kirby and her boyfriend visited the house after Streeter and McCall failed to show up to their home. They had planned to spend the day at a water park and were supposed to leave from Kirby's residence. Upon arriving, Kirby found the front door unlocked and entered the home, but found no sign of Streeter, McCall, or Leavitt. Each of the women's cars were parked outside. She also reported to police that the gas lamp shade on the porch light was shattered, though the bulb itself was still intact. Kirby's boyfriend innocently helped her sweep the broken glass off the porch, which police later determined they may have destroyed potential evidence. Obviously, he didn't know any better. Inside the house, Kirby found Leavitt and Streeter's dog, a Yorkshire Terrier named Cinnamon, who appeared very agitated. While inside, Kirby also answered a strange and disturbing call from an unidentified male who made sexual innuendos. She hung up and immediately received another call of a sexual nature, again hanging up the phone. Several hours later, McCall's mother Janice also visited the house after failed attempts to reach her daughter by phone. Inside, she noticed all three women's purses were sitting on the floor in the living room, and also saw her daughter's clothing neatly folded from the night before. Leavitt and Streeter's cigarettes were also left inside the house. Janice frantically called police from the home telephone to report the three missing women. After placing the call, while checking the phone's answering machine, she listened to, quote, a strange message. But of course, it was inadvertently erased from the tape. So that's two pieces of evidence that they lost. The glass from the light and the message. Police were very interested in the call and believe it may have contained a clue. They also did not believe it was connected to the prank calls Kirby received. McCall's parents contacted police in reference to their daughter's disappearance from Leavitt's home for more than 16 hours after the women were last seen, and others' worried friends and family called and visited the home the following day. Police later estimated that the crime scene had been corrupted by 10 to 20 people who had visited Leavitt's house. Upon the officers' arrival, the scene sign no signs of struggle, except for the shattered porch light. Now, the police also noted that Leavitt's bed had been slept in. All personal property was left behind. Later developments On December 31st, 1992, a man called the America's Most Wanted hotline with information about the women's disappearances. But the call was disconnected when the switchboard operator attempted to link up with the Springfield investigators. Police said the caller had prime knowledge of the abductions and publicly appealed for the man to contact them, but he never did. Sometimes when people get up the courage to say something, they only do it the one shot, and it just didn't happen. It's so sad. Levitt and Streeter were declared legally dead in 1997. However, their case files are still officially filed under missing. Investigators received a tip that the women's bodies were buried in the foundations of the south parking garage at Cox Hospital. In 2007, crime reporter Kathy Baird invited Rick Norland, a mechanical engineer, to scan a corner of the parking garage with ground-penetrating radar. Norland found three anomalies, roughly the same size, that he said were consistent with the gravesite location. Two of the anomalies were parallel, and the other was perpendicular. Police spokesman Lisa Cox said that the person who reported the tip provided no evidence or logical reasoning behind this theory at the time or since then. She also said the parking garage began construction in September of 1993, over a year after the disappearances. Quote, "Digging up the area and subsequently reconstructing the structure would be extremely costly, and without any reasonable belief that the bodies could be located here, it's illogical to do so. For those reasons, the Springfield Police Department does not intend to." Investigators have to be determined that this lead is not credible. Daryl Moore, a former assistant at the Greene County Prosecutor's Office, said the tip came from someone who either claimed to be a psychic or claimed to have a dream about the vision about the case. In 1997, Robert Craig Cox, who was imprisoned in Texas as a convicted kidnapper and robber, and the suspect of a Florida murder, told journalists that he knew the three women had been murdered and buried, and claimed their bodies would never be recovered. In 1992, Cox had been living in Springfield and, when interviewed, had told investigators that he was with his girlfriend at church the morning the women disappeared, which she also corroborated. However, she later recanted her statement and said that Cox had asked her to say that. Cox had also stated that he was at the home of his parents the night of the disappearance, and they confirmed that alibi. Authorities were uncertain if Cox was involved in the case or if he was just seeking recognition for the alleged murders by issuing false statements. Cox stated to authorities and journalists he would disclose what happened to the three women after his mother died. In other media, obviously the case remains unsolved, in spite of upwards of over 5,000 tips from the public. In June of 1997, a bench was dedicated to the women inside the victims' memorial garden in Springfield's Phelps Grove Park. The case has been featured on shows such as 48 Hours and America's Most Wanted. Investigation Discovery aired The Springfield 3 on its Disappeared TV series. And in 2016, the case was profiled on the podcast The Vanished. And here in 2020, we are once again highlighting them on this podcast. Unsolved Murders in America. The Springfield Police Department has developed the TIPS line as a way to report crime anonymously. This concept was developed because the police believe that someone other than a criminal or a victim may have information that will assist them in solving serious crimes. If you do have any information, please report a tip by dialing 417-869-TIPS or please contact Crime Stoppers USA at 1-800-222-TIPS. Let's find and bring justice to the person or people responsible for the murder and disappearance of the Springfield Three. Until next time, I'm Chad Granke. Stay vigilant, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Unsolved Murders in America. Crime Stoppers USA is a national Crime Stoppers organization that spans the United States to create a network of local programs that work together to prevent and solve crimes in communities and schools across the nation. Report tips at 1-800-222-8477. All suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Don't forget to check out all of our great podcasts on DelmarvaStudios.net. Until next time, thank you for joining us. You're listening to DelmarvaStudios.net.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.